is a Studio B production.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome to Talk Music to Me, episode 13. I am Alan.
And I am Jess.
And we are your hosts for this musical star-studded event of wonderfulness.
Lucky 13.
Whoops. I jumped into the playlist a little too early. Sorry about that.
He was so excited.
I was so damn excited. So we've been off a while, and in that time period, I have acquired like 20 songs that I wanted to put on our What We're Listening To segment that we're going to do a little bit later on. But that's too many songs, so I had to go through. I've spent like the last hour trying to carefully edit out the songs that I don't need to play.
I know, and I'm over here going, I have five.
But it's like choosing your favorite child. You just can't do it. How do you do it, man? How do you do that?
I've been listening to too many audiobooks. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I get caught in that, and it's fun.
It is fun.
But I kind of lose track of
music.
Yeah.
I know.
It's tough.
And when you have a music podcast, you should probably listen to music.
You should probably be paying attention to to bands and stuff.
Bands and stuff.
So, big show today. No guest today, but we have, we're going to go over some music news. We're obviously going to talk about what we've been listening to, which we do every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we also went to a show.
We did.
We went to a punk show, and so we'll talk about that.
It should have been two shows.
What do you mean? Oh, it should have been two shows. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, there should have been two shows within a week, and only one of them panned out.
I know. I'm trying to portray how like disappointing that was by my weird little sadness, but still.
So we went and saw Good Riddance, and we were supposed to see Anti-Flag the Sunday before, but
they got snowed in.
They got snowed in Denver, allegedly.
I'm still disappointed, Anti-Flag.
I am too. No, I'm. They obviously got snowed in.
They totally did, because there were other bands who also did, and I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
fine, no, I'll take it.
But it was a bummer because I would have liked to have seen them again.
I know, me too.
They were torn with some weird fucking bands, though, I'll tell you that. I tried to look at the three bands that they had touring with them. And maybe it's just not my thing. Maybe I just picked the wrong songs, but it sounded like nu metal, weird stuff.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. Well, I kept saying I was going to, and then I didn't.
It sounded like stuff that was popular. You know how lots of bands try to be Rage Against the Machine, but no one can be Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, that was your comment the other day. Okay,
That was my impression, my first impression. And granted, it was very brief. I tried to listen to all three of them, and I'm like, ugh. And I clicked off. Ugh, gross. And so.
Ew, get rid of it.
Ew, yeah. Like Limp Bizkit, ew, gross.
Ew, gross.
And so, I mean, that was my first impression. So granted, I didn't give any of them much of a chance.
Uh-huh.
But I listened about 2 minutes of each one song of each of them.
And oh, it was 2 minutes? Not, if I didn't like it, I don't think
it was bad. Like,
more
was
than
bad.
A minute is a little bit hard for me. I have like music ADD where I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And so
no.
It's weird. It's like, why are you bringing those guys on tour? Like, it's strange because Anti-Flag's a punk rock band. It's just weird.
We might have to talk to our touring band friends and ask how they pick the opening bands. I wonder if there's different
dynamics
with it.
Well, it's weird though because last year, Anti-Flag was on tour with Real Big Fish, and we've talked about that show.
Oh my God, that was such a fun show.
But that's a weird pairing, too.
It was the best people watching ever.
Oh, it was a great amalgamation of just like punk kids and ska kids. And we've talked about that in the past episode. And
yeah,
it's
so
fun.
Check out the past episode if you'd like to hear a breakdown of that.
I don't know which one it was.
Well,
you'll just have to listen to all of them.
I'll figure it out.
But anyway, so that was weird, but they didn't end up, they got snowed in Denver and didn't make it, and so we
were bummed.
We were bummed, but we did see Good Riddance, and so we'll talk about that
on
the, I guess, the final segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some fun music news.
There is some fun music news.
There's a lot of fun music news now. Start off, Slayer is done.
Done.
They're calling it quits. They're going on a one last tour. It's a North American tour, and they have not stated whether they're going to add more dates, if it's going to add a European leg or whatever, but they are they're calling it quits after 40 years.
40 years,
that's a long time.
Okay, here's my question though: in like 5 to 10 more years, are they going to go back on a second?
With that was exactly my thought. You see these bands all the time that they try and break up, or they try and quit, and they just can't get that
Things get too expensive, Alan, and they have to go on another tour.
Well, I think it's that, but I also think there's got to be some thrill of just playing on stage and touring and all that shit. Like, there's got to be an intoxication effect.
Well, doesn't it come back to, we've had this conversation before, but people who are just made to be on stage and they might think they need a break. What they really need is maybe like a couple of months off.
Right.
But they think that they're like, that's it, I'm done. And then that's usually when they go back out like a couple years later because they're like, shit, I haven't been on a stage.
Well,
like,
imagine
I need
that.
To be on the stage.
And again, I'm not
I
a
need
musician.
To play music.
But imagine you've written these songs that you poured your heart and soul into and you get a chance to go out there and play it every night to people who are singing along and rocking out and they love everything you're doing and they're just captivated by every move.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, let's just go home and watch the news and chase the kids around and play golf.
See, I was in a band.
Where is that? That you don't get that excitement at home.
Yeah. I was in a band decades ago and I still miss it. And
I
we
bet,
were
I
we
bet.
Were nothing to shake a fist at, but still.
I've never been in a band and I miss it.
You're adorable.
Never. you know, they're calling it quits. And this is from the Rolling Stone article that I read on it. And this is a direct quote. In 2016, singer-bassist Tom Araya told Loudwire, quote, at 35 years, it's time to collect my pension. This is a career move. It just gets harder and harder to come back on the road, to come back out on the road. 35 years is a long time, end quote. He also cited missing his family, and this is my favorite part, and the inability to headbang after getting neck surgery. He said, I liked knowing that I was one of the fucking badass headbangers.
That is a legitimate thing, because whenever I see young bands that are totally headbanging, the first thought I have is, oh, that's going to hurt really bad when
dude.
They're old.
So I'm old as shit now, right? Like I'm no, compared to where I was, like when I was going to shows and stuff, I could
yes.
do that stuff.
Yeah, but I can't.
We went to Good Riddance, and I'm sure I'll talk about this later. And the next day, my neck was, and I must have just been banging my head like a crazy person.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Oh, no, you were. I saw you in the pit.
It wrecked me. Yeah, it wrecked me. Like,
well,
I was.
See? And I was on the edge of the pit trying to be cool, and somebody slammed into me, and my first thought was, my bowling arm.
My bowling arm.
Or just like, oh, I'm too old. That's going to hurt. Don't. You know, I like recoil. Like,
the thing is, everyone else there was just as old.
But when I was young, I used to get out of a concert and be like, oh, ow, and I'd be covered in bruises, and it was no big deal, but now it's like, I got a bruise.
Well, see, I'd had some drinks, so at the end of it, I was feeling pretty good,
uh-huh.
But it's always like the next day or the day after where it's like, oh,
you realize
that was a bad idea.
I'm not 19 anymore.
Exactly, yeah. So that's it for Slayer.
That's awesome, though. Okay, so question, how much do you think those tickets are going to be? Think they're going to be like insane?
I don't know. You know, I never really got into Slayer, did you?
No. Not really.
I can appreciate it. Like, Rain and Blood is good. Mm-hmm. Like, they have some good stuff, but I liked metal for a long time, too, but I was more into
I'm kind of surprised that you didn't get into
them.
Yeah,
you know, it's not, I don't think it was on purpose. I don't think I ever listened to them and didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just never happened. Like, yeah. I was into, I liked the thrash metal I liked, and Slayer's that, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved Pantera.
I was just going to say, because you went to Pantera.
Oh, yeah. And Megadeth, I saw the fake Misfits open for Megadeth. And
I love how you always qualify that.
Well, it's not real. It's not real Misfits. Sorry, but Michael Graves is not real Misfits. In fact, wait a minute.
Yeah, are you going to say what you told Allie? Wait, have you said that before?
I don't know what?
If she ever met Michael Graves, what to do or something.
Go get a grown-up because he's creepy. Yeah. I've told her that.
If you
ever see Michael Graves, you go get a grown-up because he's a creepy motherfucker.
And if you see Danzen, give him your skull.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. She texts me all the time, Daddy, have you got Danzig's skull yet? It's cute. Anyway, but so I guess... So there was a thing on our Facebook page about shitty concerts.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Misfits with Michael Graves was on there. I didn't make that, by the way.
You didn't?
No, that was
I
just
thought
on
you
there.
Did.
No, I didn't make that. That was just on there. Someone else agrees. And I was thinking, like, I've seen them twice. I've seen the fake Misfits with Michael Graves. I saw them twice, and I deserve a medal. But now I just realize I've seen them three times because they opened for Megadeth, and I forgot about that.
Oh, my God,
I've
Alan.
Seen them three times. Give me a medal. Give me a Purple Heart. That is horrible. That is god-awful.
Were they bad?
I mean, they were just... it's just
Was it bad because it wasn't what you wanted?
You can't get up there and sing "Dig Up Her Bones," which was one of their newer songs at the time, and then follow it up by singing "Halloween." Like, fuck you! It's not the same. Don't do that. What? Like, Danzig's a big, beastly, short guy, but he's really buff. And God, it turned into Danzig talk again. And Michael Graves is a skinny little teenage shithead that you just want to punch in the face.
So guess what's going to happen if Alan has to see them again? He's going to be
the
one
around anymore.
Well, you would be the one who would jump up and kick him in the chest, right?
You're goddamn right, I would. Got to protect. There's got to be some integrity in this world. No, but they're done. They were done. They released two horrible records, and that was it.
What happened to Michael Graves? What is he doing now?
Oh, he's doing solo, and he's still touring. Like, he's banking off his time with the Misfits.
He's the one that has the hair. Like, he's bald, but he still does the hair. Isn't he the one you were telling me about?
No, that's Jerry Only, who's balding, but he still does the devil lock.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so his back hair has to be, like, grown way out long just so he can, like, throw it over the top of his
Friend
skull.
Devil comb
yeah,
over.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's Jerry Only. So Jerry Only's the guy who's been keeping the Misfits alive because that's his cash cow. Because Danzig got the right to the songs. But Jerry Only got the right to all the merchandise. And he's the one who's like, this is why you see him at Hot Topic. This is why you see their shirts at Target, at Walmart. It's because Jerry Only's trying to cha-ching. Like, he's trying to get that money.
I feel like this should be a lesson to all those people in the world that want to become famous musicians. These are things you have to think about. Front comb over. Neck injuries.
Don't commit to a look if you can't do it when you're 60 years old.
That's true, man.
For real.
People are going to judge you.
But yeah, no, that band didn't last very long. The reformed Misfits, they lasted for two records. And then Michael Graves didn't want to go on tour because he had to go to hockey camp.
Is he five?
You know what?
Sorry, I guess 5-year-olds wouldn't go to hockey camp.
A lot of his political views and the way he sees the world, you might think he's 5 years old. Reminds me of a certain person in the White House right now. Just going to say that. Anyway.
They should be best friends.
They are. But Donald Trump doesn't know he's alive. But if he did, they would be best friends. Trust me. They're both terrible.
You're adorable.
Okay, let's... God damn it, man. You always somehow get me talking about Danzig. I don't understand how you do it.
It's awesome. It's my secret superpower. You know what? Like Danzig information is yours. Well,
but when I was about to press record, I thought to myself, I'm not going to talk about Danzig. It's getting old. It's getting old. Anyone who listens to this show with any regularity, if you are not a huge Danzig fan, you're fucking sick of it. And you're screaming at your radio, your iPod, your phone, shut up!
It's so funny.
No one cares about Danzig. Stop it.
It's so funny because you get so riled up. That's why I have to do it. Plus, I like to dig in the crevices of your brain to find out what else you know because the information just keeps coming.
It does. It really
never
does.
Stops.
It'll never end. Pretty much all I do all day is I just
so that's what he does all day.
Sit on the couch and Google Danzig.
I knew it.
Danzig news. Refresh, 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 refresh. all right, let's move on to some more news. This one, our buddy Shane, who we actually went and saw Good Riddance with.
We did.
And who was on our last episode. He sent me this little nugget, and this is wonderful.
Thanks, Shane.
It is actually horrible, but it's hilarious at the same time.
Yes.
So, former Atari's bassist, Michael Davenport. So, it's not the front man. It's not Chris Rowe.
No.
With the bleached hair.
No.
And always wore the red tie.
No.
It is the bassist. He's being indicted because
I'm
he was pulling some
head.
Crazy real estate scam to where he would basically go onto Craigslist and advertise homes for sale for very cheap. So then people would contact him or his company. And his company, by the way, is named American Standard. Now, for those who aren't familiar with that name, that is also the name of the company that makes toilets.
Yes.
And you made a great point off mic about this.
Yeah.
And I said, why would you name your company the same name as the toilet company?
And you're doing a shitty company. And I was like, because he's a piece of shit.
Because he's a piece of shit. He's a giant piece of shit.
With a shitty company.
And if you don't agree, just wait and you'll understand why. So he would post on Craigslist cheap houses for sale, like way under market value. Mm-hmm. And people would contact him. And so for the low, low price of $200, he would sell them a listing book of other listings well under market value.
Which is insane.
So he would give them, and then he hired all these customer service reps. And the reason why the reps were around is because these people would buy these books.
Mm-hmm.
They would contact the sellers, and the sellers would be like, my house is not for sale.
Can't believe this.
What are you talking about?
This is totally insane.
So, and I'm going to read, and this is from NPR Music, mm-hmm. and this is a direct quote from that story about this. So the customer service reps, quote, spent most of their time fielding phone calls from angry customers and homeowners whose houses had been included on American Standards list without their permission, according to the indictment. When customers would ask American Standard why the occupant of a house they were interested in purchasing had told them it wasn't actually for sale, employees would say the occupants were too embarrassed to talk about the financial difficulties they found themselves in. So
a shitty answer to a shitty from a shitty company.
He was scamming people out of $200.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say this. This is all allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nothing's been proven. He hasn't been convicted. He's just being indicted right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is all allegedly. So basically, to sum this up, he would sell people $200 books filled with information that is bogus.
Uh-huh.
And again, allegedly, the amount of victims he had, who he sold this fake book to, 100,000 people in every single state around the country.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's that much?
It was like, this is like super fraud.
Because I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, where would the money come to hire all of the customer service reps?
And that's how. 100,000 people he scammed. He was
that's so evil.
He was running this company while he was doing the reunion tour with the Ataris in 2013.
Oh, for shame. What's his name again?
Michael Davenport.
For shame, Michael Davenport.
Yeah.
For shame.
Fucked up, man.
Because I love the Ataris. And the fact that he was on tour, a reunion tour, and also screen people over, for shame.
I don't know. I saw the Ataris. Meh. Like, I didn't have an opinion about their music one way or the other, but I saw them one time up at, so here in Salt Lake City, up at the University of Utah, they have a big,
it's Red
like
Fest?
Red Fest, which is like the student, I don't know, whatever the student
body. They do
body.
A student concert every year.
Yeah, the student body or whatever puts on this concert,
mm-hmm.
and they bring in bands. And it was funny because the first night was the Ataris.
Uh-huh.
And I've never seen a crowd more bored until we went to see Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh.
Like, people were just standing around, and they're just like,
really?
And then the next night was Flogging Molly, and this
How
is when they
I
were
miss
blowing
this
up.
This concert?
The next night was Flogging Molly, and it was totally different. Like, and you've been to a Flogging Molly show.
Oh, my God.
You know
Flogging...
how fucking happy everyone
oh
is?
Oh, my God. You
Everyone's
guys.
Drinking beer and loving each other.
Oh,
and like...
you guys. If you have not been to a Flogging Molly concert, for the love of God, go. And be prepared to drink a lot of beer and to dance, because people are dancing.
You're going to dance. You're going to have a good time.
Oh, it's so much
greatest,
fun.
It is
so much fun.
They put on a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So contrasting those two things, maybe that's making the Ataris look worse to me, but it was just like, God, this is so boring.
It's something that is interesting that I'm noticing is that when we talk about the University of Utah concerts, a lot of them, because with the Bouncing Souls, when I went and saw them, hardly anybody was there. You said the Ataris were boring, and then Brand New played at Red Fest once, and they sucked. Like,
I don't know
they
anything
just
about
seemed
Brand New.
Oh, they seemed so irritated to be there. Like, the whole time I'm watching, and I was like, come on, guys, just try a little bit, because I'm sure they got a lot of money to do it.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm like, you can't even pretend to be happy to be here. Come on.
Right, like, right. Well, it's your job, man. Just. Put on a happy face.
You don't like it, don't do it. But anyway, continue.
Exactly.
So over 100,000 people.
Over 100,000 alleged victims.
Oh my God. That's like insane. And so how did he get caught?
I don't know. Didn't go into that. But I'm surprised it went on as long as it did. Because with that many people
mm-hmm.
getting scammed,
mm-hmm.
you would think someone's going to report this or something.
Do you ever think that these people who do these scams, if they put that amount of effort and work into something that was actually legitimate,
yes,
that I mean, use
yes,
don't be evil.
I don't know the mentality of these people, but I don't think either. I think it starts like, oh, we'll just sell this book, you know, and little by little, kind of grows, and it's almost like a business,
mm-hmm.
and then they get in over their heads, and then they're screwed.
Yeah,
I would imagine that's how it happens. I don't know. I don't think anyone's like, I'm gonna fuck over 100,000 people.
Watch me.
Yeah.
And I won't get caught either.
So that's a bummer.
That's a huge huge bummer, just because, okay, so I have lovely feelings about the Ataris because I saw them play a bunch of small venues, and I know for sure one was Lo-Fi. One time was at In the Venue, and then at Warped Tour, and I always loved them. They were one of my favorite bands in high school, and so to hear that—
I can see why, and
to hear that they're associated with something like this, I wonder what his band members are thinking, like, oh my God.
You know,
like,
yeah,
because
right.
When they came last time, I think they played the Metro Music Hall last time, which I didn't know existed.
I didn't know existed until about a month ago.
Yeah, and I missed it, and I was sad, but I was also sad for them because they used to play these bigger venues, not big venues, but bigger. Right, right. And I was like, oh, how sad.
Wow. Well, and we'll get into that later on. Yeah, I got a story about that.
I mean, and you hear about like things happening in bands, and I always say that bands are like being in a family or being in a relationship, but it's like, oh my God, what happens when someone in your band, because it makes it doesn't mean to, but I'm sure it makes the band look bad
stink,
too.
The stink emanates throughout the whole band. I mean,
I know.
You can't think of Lost Prophets without thinking of that piece of shit. I don't even want to say it, that child molester.
Yeah.
You can't think of that band without thinking of that, right?
I know, doesn't that suck?
And so now, like, the Ataris, I mean, this isn't nearly as bad.
No,
is, like, almost a fun thing. Like, Ataris, isn't that bad with that guy who scandalized those people?
He got cut.
Yeah, and forever they will be known, I will remember them as that now.
See, and I'll just think, aw, sad, because I love the Ataris. I'm just bummed, because that guy's stupid. And the other thing I think is, how do these people think that they're not going to get caught at some point? If you took a bunch of money from people that you shouldn't have taken, like, you're going to get caught at some point. Even if it's, like, well after the fact, like, just get a stupid job. I mean, you're going to make more money doing that than going to jail.
I think they get in over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like Bernie Madoff with all that. Like, I think he wasn't trying to have a Ponzi scheme, but it just kind of happened. And then he got too far into it. And before you know it, it's fucking collapsing in on him, and he doesn't know what to do.
Oh, kind of like the one concert that you had talked about where was it? There was that big concert and they sold all the tickets and it was super expensive.
Oh, the Fire Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the Bahamas or the Caribbean or something.
And they were giving them cheese sandwiches. Yeah. Not even good cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, they get there and you're going to have these luxurious places to stay and the refugee tents.
Here's a cheese sandwich.
And it's like all these Instagram models are pimping this thing, and Ja Rule is a promoter on this thing, and the guy who put it together just scammed everybody. Just scammed everybody. Oh, and I think we talked about this on an episode too.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy. Crazy.
Well, it's crazy what people do. And it's even crazier when it gets wound up in music.
Yes.
Because like I said, it just keeps kind of reverberating throughout it. Because now that's what you're going to think of when you think of the Ataris.
Yeah. Forever until the day I die. When I think of the Ataris, I'll think of that.
And I'm just going to think the Ataris. Oh, you mean the shitty guy?
You mean the shitty guy? The piece of shit guy?
The piece of shit guy.
He named his company after the toilet company.
The toilet man?
Fucking unbelievable. Okay. Happier news. And then we'll get on to your story that you have, because you've got a good one. And this is still so early, but the Bouncing Souls, my favorite band. I got three tattoos. I have three Bouncing Souls tattoos.
Bouncing Souls!
My favorite band. In fact, I'm going to play a little Bouncing Souls
Please
while
do.
I talk about this.
Let I think sure you should totally should.
One of the greatest songs ever written, by the way. Greg Antonito, he came out, I think, with Dying Scene, which is a great website, by the way.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Punknews.org used to be like the site I'd go to every day, but now it's Dying Scene.
And you and I both post a lot from the Dying Scene on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. Unfortunately, Punk News, they got a guy in there who is just kind of obnoxious. He's not bad or anything, and it kind of just turned me off. The writing's, it's just not the same. Anyway, totally unrelated. But Greg Antonito told Dying Scene that they are planning a new record to celebrate their 30th anniversary. Band's been around for 30 years.
30 freaking years!
30 years.
That makes me proud and also feel extremely old.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. That's crazy. So that's good news.
30 years!
30
that's
years.
So exciting. I'm so excited for them.
That's next year, I think. I don't even think it's 2018. I think it's 2019. So that's we got a ways for that.
I know, but still, I'm really, really hoping. Okay, Bouncing Souls, for the love of God, can you please come here? Like, really?
Yeah, come to Salt Lake City. Like, seriously, like, I know. It's not the best place in the world.
But the fans are fabulous.
It used to be every band would come here on every tour. And now, little by little,
they're
like
not coming
bands
here.
Are skipping
What
us.
Happened, you guys? What did you guys do?
The place, it's actually grown a shitload too.
No.
And we're not all Mormon.
You we're know, really we all, not.
We all go party and have fun. And even if we don't, we still have fun. And we go all out for shows.
What did the guys from last podcast on the left say? They're like,
those Mormons get pretty drunk or something. Yeah.
No, those Utahs get really freaking drunk. And we're like, yeah.
Goddamn right we do.
Yeah, that was a rough night.
That was a rough night. That's a whole other story.
No, well, that's exciting. And I think I was reading on that article that they're hoping to do... They're thinking about what they want to do for the 30th anniversary and then hopefully a tour. So I'm...
Well, it sounded like they're going to do new songs and like, I don't know if that meant covering old songs or just remastering or...
I don't even care. I'm just excited.
Or what. Yeah.
Because, you know...
The last record was all right. Comet, the one before that, was not very good.
It wasn't? I haven't even listened
to it.
It's just a lot of filler.
Ghost on the Boardwalk was pretty, it had some gems on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the last great record they did was the Gold Record.
The Gold Record is fabulous.
It's one of the best records ever written, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And see, and I used to, Bouncing Souls was one of my other favorites when I was in high school. Loved, loved, loved them.
Yep.
And I was so excited when I would see them on the roster for anything. I'm like, yes! But then I met you, and now I listen to Bouncing Souls and I think of you.
Nice. I have 3 tattoos.
I know you. Oh, that was the first thing I noticed about you. Have we not talked about this like 1,000 times?
My
I was like, shit.
Right on my forearm.
Shit, he's got a Bouncing Souls tattoo. Yeah. He's freaking awesome.
You're nice. Okay, so let's hear your news then.
Okay, so my news is that the Distillers are back, you guys. They're back.
Well, right. We think, right?
Oh, yeah, they're back.
They've announced it because that little teaser video was just kind of a teaser.
Well, it was a teaser.
I don't know if that meant a tour or a record.
Yes,
or...
it means both.
It means both.
It means both.
That's good.
Yes, that's good.
That's good. So what?
Okay, so I wanted to do a little background because last time I think I had mentioned I didn't know when they broke up and why and what their kind of history was. So I just looked at it really quick. So the Distillers, they split back in 2006 when their drummer Andy Grinnelli and their bassist Ryan Sinn left. And so then Brody Dalle and Tony, okay, I can't say his last name, but I'm going to try. Bevilacqua?
Sounds good. Bevilacqua.
Bevilacqua? They formed Spinneret. And I don't know if you want to play a little bit of the Spinneret, but I actually really, really love Spinneret. It's kind of, I would say dark and dirty, but it really is.
So the song we're going to play under this discussion is called Ghetto Love by Spinneret.
And it's off of the Ghetto Love EP. And from what I understand, so Spinneret wasn't around for very long, which was kind of a bummer because the video for this is freaking awesome. If you get a second, like, go and watch it. And then Brody Dalle went solo. And she's been doing her solo thing for the last couple of years. But they just released a 30-second clip called The Distillers 2018.
Nice.
And then they've announced some tour dates. And it says new album confirmed. And tour, but they're going to California, Arizona, and Texas. Of course not here.
But wait a minute. They're not just touring by themselves, are they?
No.
No.
Because she's not Brody Dalle anymore.
This is the bad news.
She is Brody Tommy.
Oh my God. let's say she really loves Josh Homme. You know, maybe there's some quality about him that I just don't get. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't announce that to people, man. Like, just distance yourself from him as much as possible.
I would assume she's not as embarrassed of him as we are, but...
But you know what? Everything about him is... He doesn't... Like, you have rock star personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do what they're going to do, and some of them are outlandish, and some of them aren't. But it's still rock and roll. He seems to carry himself, and everything he does... is based on what he thinks a rock star is going to should do.
Yes.
And it's not genuine. There's nothing about him that strikes me as genuine.
And I might be traipsing into dangerous territory with this. So I agree with you on Josh Homme. He's always just rubbed me the wrong way. And the fact that there's such a studio band also rubs me the wrong way. If you can't do a live concert that's good, then I'm going to lose some respect for you.
Right.
But then with Brody Dalle, I think when she just plays music, she's freaking fabulous.
She's very talented.
But
she's great.
I've watched her go through a lot of transformations as well. And I'm not totally digging the new look of like super like Hollywood. You know, like she's got the face that everybody else has. And that to me, it makes me sad when I see people go through that. When they're trying to fit the status quo. I don't like it. You're a punk rocker. Don't do that.
Well, and you know what? Just be yourself. Who gives a shit?
I know. Well, because
who gives a shit? Like, we were just up at Sundance. We went and saw a couple of
people
movies,
watching.
A couple movies.
We might have to talk about
it. Up at the Sundance Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these plastic people, LA, New York people, you know, who are just there. It's more about being there than giving a fuck about the movies.
Yeah.
Or the films that are going on. It's hard to stomach for me. I don't know.
It's hard to stomach for me too, especially when it has to do with music that is focused around not fitting in.
Right,
I guess.
Right,
I just
right.
You're trying to be different. And so I have total respect for her as a musician.
Me too, absolutely. She's
and
great.
I've actually never seen the Distillers live, and so I'm dying to see them.
I think that would be great.
I think it would be such a good show.
I'm sure they're gonna get on the road and then they'll add more dates.
Oh, they totally will. I think once the new album is released. And the 30-second clip sounds really cool, but I'm a little bit scared it's influenced by Queens of the Stone Age just a little bit too much. And I really hope she doesn't go down that road, but we'll find out. I hope she sticks to her core.
If they weren't married, it would be a very weird tour. Like, because they are a very punk band.
Yeah,
like there, and Queens of the Stone Age is
not
just about the opposite of that.
Yeah,
so it would be a very weird pairing if they weren't married.
That's true. It really would be.
It'd be very strange.
It really would be. But regardless, I'm super excited. I really hope that they stick to their foundation at least a little bit. Like,
we'll
I'm
see. Yeah.
I'm assuming that they're gonna grow. They've done a lot of growth since 2006.
Yeah, do your own thing. Like, do what you want to do. Just
mm-hmm.
don't abandon.
Bring that scream back for the love of God. It's such a good scream. I love it. And so that was my little piece of music news that I'm super excited
And that's
about.
Good news.
It is.
That's
I'm really excited.
Okay, let's move on to what we have been listening to lately.
And start us off.
I'm going to try to narrow it down even more. All right, there was one that I told you. I don't know anything about this, and I don't know why.
I'm very excited. I know nothing about it either.
You know what probably happened?
What?
I was probably drunk one night and somehow came across this shit and was like, I gotta put that in the playlist. Because this has been like a month of collecting songs.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since we last recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that's what it is. It's by someone named Jakey.
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 Uh-huh.
It's called Moby Dick, and when we were off mic talking about it, I was like, should we listen to it first, or just go
blind?
And
I was like, no, I don't want to know.
I think it's a hip-hop thing. I don't know.
Don't be scared. Just do it.
Let's find out. I'm sorry if it's garbage.
Ooh. Well, it sounds like a horror movie.
There's Tony Soprano. Yeah, that's probably why. Tony Soprano, listen.
You project
this is from The Sopranos.
No wonder you like it.
This is what happens between. If I had a nickel
for every time I think I do. Yeah, it's not bad.
You were so scared. Are you having memories of this?
This is ringing a bell.
Is it a foggy memory?
Yes, I'm trying to think. But if I was really drunk, I probably wouldn't remember it. I'll be as rich as a man with no
kids in the deuce and income. I'll be rich as this. I'm attempting hip hop dancing and failing miserably.
He's got some talent.
No, this is great. And it sounds like horror music in the
background. I think this is a YouTuber.
Background.
I think it's a YouTuber. No, you better. Because sometimes I go through these YouTube rabbit holes where I just like. It's good. It's not
it's
bad.
It's good. I like it.
Sometimes I fall down these YouTube rabbit holes where you just start clicking on shit, you know? And it's like, what is that? What is that video? What is that? And I think this guy's a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah? I like it.
So that's good. Yeah.
Well, all right, question. One of the songs I was listening to kind of is in the same vein. Can I hop in?
Yeah.
And I'm scared to play too much of it, but it's Justin Timberlake's new song,
his new single. Filthy?
Filthy. And the reason why I like it, and you can skip a little bit. Or wait.
Is this it? Okay, you had a look on your face like, is this it?
I know, it gets... Well, the intro always throws me off because the rest of the song is much different. If you want to skip forward a little bit. There we go.
All right.
One of the reasons why I love this much. Okay, number one, I love Justin Timberlake as a person. He's fucking hysterical.
I'm going to stop this just in case because that's a major label.
So, he's hysterical. Like, anytime he's on anything, like when he was on Saturday Night Live, all the stuff he did was freaking hilarious. I've heard he's a really nice person. And I actually, I really like this song. And what made me like it even more is that he posted some on his Instagram. He said, "Keep going, I see you." And he posted a handful of videos of people who were dancers doing choreography to it. And it was awesome what people did with this.
Probably as people posted that.
But still.
But still, yeah. It's not like they're shutting down people for it's, yeah.
I mean, not all the time do we see where the creative goes with it.
Sure.
So, you know, there's so much that comes from music. So you make the music and it goes into an album. You have releases. You go see concerts. But some of the stuff that you don't think about is sometimes it goes into productions. It goes into choreography. It goes into a lot of different things. And I like seeing where it expands to.
I think.
And what people do to interpret it.
Seeing the creative aspect of producing anything to mm-hmm. me is fascinating. Like when I was young and DVDs were just coming out.
Yeah.
I finished the movie and I'd watch the behind the scenes to see how it's happening.
Yeah.
And that's why like when bands release stuff when they're in the studio, mm-hmm. I love that shit. Like it's fascinating because no one realizes the work that goes into this shit.
Yes.
It's very easy to sit there and pick apart everything and be critical. But even like the reverb on something is picked apart and debated. Like, there's a lot that goes into this shit that laymen like me don't understand.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's fascinating to see this kind of stuff.
Well, and I love watching. So the clips of these dances that these people put together were so different and so unique and so freaking awesome. And the first thought I had is I want to see what other choreographies with other music and see what people are doing and how they interpret it.
Right.
Because I just thought it was fabulous. And so that to me like made me like the song more just to see how far it's reaching. And I just thought it was so cool.
Well, it's cool to incorporate fans, and I think that's very cool.
Into like, even if it was done by the label or whoever it was done by, the fact that they're giving back and recognizing people who are utilizing it,
I like that. Right,
exactly. I think that's good promoting.
Because it'd be very easy, and a lot of these big companies will just throw up copyright claims and take shit down and do all this kind of stuff. And so it's very cool to see someone embracing that and being like, yeah, no, let's show the fans. It may have been a thing where they are like, show us your best moves.
But still,
it's
very loved
cool,
every second of it. And it, I'm going to tie back to the Misfits. Is your Misfits group where they ask people to record little bits and pieces of a song, and then they put it together in a compilation of people either dancing or singing or doing different things.
Goddamn right, man.
Love those. Yeah. I love it. Like all the different things that people did. And by the way, Alan was featured on one, and they were just so cool. And I loved him.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So I just like seeing what people do with music. So I liked that piece of it.
That's how it should be. Like, it shouldn't be you putting up walls. Like, you should be getting everybody involved. Like, you should be reaching out. And it drives me crazy when that's not done.
Yeah.
In all mediums. It makes me pull my hair out. Fucking
so
drives me crazy.
That's why I really, really liked that. And whatever they're doing, they're promoting, I'm loving every second of it. So I think that they're doing a great job with that one. So
cool.
That was just me jumping in. Now I'm going to be quiet.
I like that. All right. All right. I'm going to try and speed this up. I just looked at the time. We're running a little long, but let's see. I got so many songs here I want to talk about. Okay. I'm going to do this one. I don't think we played Polar Bear Club. Have we played Polar Bear Club at all
Only
on the show?
Only the one song that...
On this show we have?
The good song?
Well, there's a lot. They're all good songs, but I don't remember doing that. Anyway, this song's called "Killing It." Maybe I've played it. I don't know. Let's find out.
I don't think so.
No, I've definitely not played this song.
Yeah.
These guys are awesome.
Oh, Polar Bear Club's so good.
Their last record's weird because it's so much different.
I'm writing myself a note to listen to Polar Bear Club.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. There's nothing more I can even say. Just, it's awesome. These guys are amazing.
I would highly recommend going through the albums, especially if you've got any kind of like trip coming up and you need some good albums to listen to. That's what I did when I had a long driving trip, is I listened to all the albums, and it was a good drive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, their first three records are so good. Their newest one is, it's so different that it's taken me a while to get used to it. Mm-hmm. Just because they're going more into the pop punk route, which is something I love.
Yeah.
But it's just not what I expected from them.
Uh-huh.
So it was just such a weird departure, like, suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, wait a minute. I want to hear the weird hardcore-ish stuff.
Yeah.
Emo-ish stuff. Yeah.
Wait, is that you guys?
Yeah. Well, and I've seen these guys before, and it's... The singer has a very big stage presence.
Like, how was the show? Were they good live?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're
good.
So good. They're so good. These guys
are amazing. They just put out a new album? Are they on tour?
No, this was a wait. This was a
Dang
while
it.
Ago. It was a couple
okay.
years ago. Okay, let's move on. Tony Sly. The late, great Tony Sly from No Use for a Name. It's just... I'm trying to hurry on this shit, so...
Don't feel like you have to.
I love this, but later on it gets... Let me see if I can find it. Here it is.
So
everyone, this is a sing-along song, for sure.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Did you ever go to those like little concerts where they did the acoustic sets and everybody...
Yeah, totally. This is what this
it
is.
It was most of their friends and their biggest fans
this
and the whole room was singing.
Exactly. Yes.
All
and
those
that's
moments.
That's why I love this.
Those
you
moments.
Just, you summed up exactly why I love this song so much.
Yeah. Oh, those were
the... Because it's a sing-along where it's like being at a house party and someone's got a guitar or some shit.
I know. Those are the... Oh, those are some of my favorite memories.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes my heart feel all explodey.
And there are people chanting in the back.
Oh my God.
This is good. This song is called Live or Let Die. It's off the second split that he did with Joey Cape. It's called Acoustic Volume 2, is the name of the record. Yeah. It was sad. When he died, that was a sad one.
This is so cute. I'm like totally like lost in memories right now of tiny venues.
This song just has good feeling and good heart. That's
tiny
all it is.
Tiny venues with friends and tiny bands on tour and green and red lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the end, I love the end because it's just the chanting. Let's see. I think we're there. So good. It's just, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's gonna keep going. Damn it, I thought I was gonna try and get to the end of the song. Oh well.
Well,
okay.
Listen to the end of the song, guys.
Yeah, go, and as always, you know, go listen to these songs. Support these bands. Buy their fucking records.
Please do.
Go buy their records. Okay, I got a bunch more, but I'm gonna try and speed it up.
Do what you gotta do.
Do we want shit, man?
What? You guys should say he's having like...
It's very hard to do this right now.
He like looks extremely pained in his decision.
Here's a band. I know nothing about them, but I listened to them a while ago and I've been wanting... They've been like on the cusp of putting them on this section of our show every episode.
Uh-huh.
The band's called The Hollow Ends. I don't think I played any of their stuff. This song's called Slow It Down. And it's just...
Gosh, we were just
it's
at Sundance.
It's folk music, man. I just love this folk music.
This sounds like a great intro song to like an indie movie.
Oh, totally, huh?
Yeah. As you're driving down the road with your hand out the window.
With the low contrast, low saturation.
You can see it, picture. Can't you?
Oh, totally. Like on the highways of America in a convertible or some shit.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I see it. Grainy film.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. See if I can speed this up a little bit. See.
Slow it down. The
Hollow Ends. That's the name of this band.
I like that.
And from what I can find, they only have this one record. I guess it'd be an EP. It's like six songs, and that's the only thing I could find from them. Anyway, I think they're really good.
I like them. Like I said, I have like a little movie going through my head right now.
Totally.
I'm thinking this.
So go listen to them. They're really good. Okay. Are we going to do... Fuck. There's one I have to do.
Do it.
This when I was in high school...
Yes?
It's my favorite song in the world.
Was it?
It was my favorite song in the entire world.
I love it.
It was on a compilation.
Uh-huh.
This version's a little bit different because it's on the record.
Uh-huh.
And you'll probably know it when I play it.
Play it. Play.
Diesel Boy.
Song.
Titty Twister. This was my favorite song in the whole world when I was in high school.
Oh my God, I love this song.
It's Diesel Boy.
This was on, I had that compilation.
Yeah, it was a Fat Records compilation.
You bag of shit.
Not the snow, not me, yeah, my pants falling down.
Yeah. I okay. still sing this song when my pants fall down.
Yeah. Guys are awesome.
And my
man.
Pants fall down.
Diesel Boy, one of the most criminally.
I don't know what you
You're singing along. One of the most criminally underrated, underappreciated, I should say, pop punk bands, skate punk bands of the 90s.
Stomach is making
fun. And early 2000s. Yeah.
Oh my God, Alan, you.
This is my favorite song.
Ah!
Okay, last one. We're going to go Mischief Brewer, Gaslight Anthem. I'm going to play Mischief Brew because I played it
just
for you
do
often.
Both.
Okay, well, here's Gaslight Anthem. Helter Skeleton.
Helter Skeleton?
Yeah.
I like that.
Gaslight Anthem. They're great.
How could you not like Gaslight Anthem?
They're good. They're just so good. The 59 sound is one of the best records I've ever heard.
So freaking good.
Okay. Mischief Brew. I know I played them at some point.
You're just cute because you seem so stretched. You're like,
I gotta get it out. I gotta get all of them. Mischief Brew, this is a folk. This is like the first folk punk that I ever listened to that really got me into it.
This sounds like something Marcus Parks would like.
Slam the glasses upside down.
Yeah.
Or would play.
It's sad because this guy died very suddenly. And no more Mischief Brew. It's really sad, actually.
Slam the glasses upside down. I did not pay.
Oh yeah. Where's my whiskey?
Yes. Yes, yes. This is whiskey drinking music.
This is whiskey and low hanging lights.
By the way, the other night I got to tell the story. You're hilarious. You don't drink whiskey because you're allergic to it.
I know, and I'm learning.
And
I don't care.
Maybe we're introducing you little by little. But
I think so.
It had the shot glass, and you had a little, and you every once in a while you'll have a little sip.
Uh-huh.
And then you had a bunch of wine while I was drinking whiskey. And then you go. I wish I could do this story justice, but you're like, can I have some more whiskey? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Help yourself. And you pour yourself a full shot. You pour it, down it, slam it on the table like you're goddamn Clint Eastwood. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen because I was not expecting it. Because usually you just take a sip because you can't drink too much of it. And you just downed it like a boss. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
You guys... It's really good whiskey.
It's really good whiskey.
Oh, and then I experienced whiskey hangover for the first time. Because I've never drank whiskey before I met Alan. And I experienced whiskey hangover. Do you want to tell people what that was like the next day?
Well, when you drink a lot of whiskey and you don't get a lot of sleep, you're pretty loopy and you're pretty goofy. Some people are, not everybody. Some people are pretty mean.
Yeah.
And you were just like the happiest I think I've ever seen you. It's like... Aren't you hungover?
I was like, I'm having the best day.
Aren't you hungover? Like,
I was like, oh, I want to barf, but I feel great. And then we went to, I have to mention this, we went to the movie up at Sundance, Mandy, that has Nicolas Cage in it, and it was amazing.
I made a decision on the movie podcast that...
Are we going to talk about it?
We're going to be launching at some point.
Can we talk?
We got to talk about this.
We've got to.
We're not going to get into it. It's not the right arena. But when this movie comes out, it will not get a wide release. I guarantee
no.
you.
No.
It's a mix between an acid trip and a dream.
And crazy Nicolas Cage.
And Nicolas Cage goes crazy. It is epic. It's like a horror movie and there's a lot of gore.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't like that stuff.
Don't see it.
Don't watch it. I've never seen so many people walk out of a theater in my life.
Oh my God.
But it was epic.
And Alan and I were sitting there with big smiles on our face and it was the best movie to see with the whiskey hangover.
Yeah. And it was called Mandy. It probably won't get a wide release. You might have to search it out. But when it comes out, watch it. If you're into that kind of shit, it's awesome.
Yes.
Okay. Your turn.
It was my turn. Oh
yeah,
my God.
We're like an hour.
I'm sorry.
You're good. It's my fault.
We're making up for the fact that we haven't recorded in a while.
Exactly.
Okay.
No,
so
we don't have a time limit. No, okay. We don't have a time limit, but we just, you know, want to keep people interested.
Okay. So I've been listening to, first and foremost, I was listening to tons of Anti-Flag to get ready for the concert. That's why it was such a bummer. So this one's I Came, I Saw, I Believed, and it's off of American Fall, which is their new record that just came out.
Good record too.
It is, and we were talking about how some people are either gonna like or dislike this album because they went a little bit more.
I think it's just the opening track is very
I love the opening track.
It's really good. I love it. Yeah. But it's not typical. It's not a punk song. It's like a Green Day song, you know? It's And so I think a lot of people have a hard time with that. But the record is really good. It's not all like that, but
no, the record is really good.
Yeah.
Cuz it was just lovely to listen to it and review all the Anti-Flag songs. It got me all psyched. And with all the stuff that's happening in the news, it was really nice.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, Anti-Flag, sing it." Okay.
Fight those pigs.
Yes, that's right. And then let's see. So then I was researching for another concert for Good Riddance. And off of the album Remain in Memory, the final show. Oh,
no,
sorry.
This is off My Republic.
My Republic. Oh, that other one was a live version.
Yeah, it's a live version.
So this is Darkest Days.
And they didn't play anything off this record. They played their old stuff and then the new record, newest record.
I know, because I really like, I was really hoping
this
they
one
might.
Is honestly probably my favorite one.
Is
and
that?
It's, I think it came out in 07. It was right before they broke up.
And I kept coming back to this when I was going through everything, and I.
Yeah, it's just Good Riddance, man. It's so good.
I know. I used to see Good Riddance all the time when I was promoting. All the time. Yeah. It seemed like they came here quite a bit.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that too.
But anyway.
You're so much better at getting through songs quickly.
Well, because I can't. I'm trying to think of what to say, but I'm saving the Good Riddance stuff when we talk about the show. So let's go to another band that we've seen live and really liked, I the Mighty. And this is off of the album Connector. This is, okay, Psychomachia. I think I'm saying that right.
That's the name of the song, right?
Yes, that's the name of the song.
Psychomachia.
And the reason why I love this song is put the song on too loud, put on your best headphones, and just get lost in it.
There's a lot going on.
Because it's intense, then it gets light, then it gets intense. Like, right. You can kick it forward a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there.
Well, it's like it ties you in right as it starts, then it gets soft, then it ties you in again, then it gets soft, and then like through the whole thing, it's just kind of like this like little up and down of going through it. And I just love his vocals. His vocals are so awesome.
Yeah, he's a hell of a vocalist.
Oh, he's a hell of a vocalist. And so I always go back to I the Mighty because I think they're. Oh wait, I love his part. But I respect them as a live band, but I also respect them as a recorded band because I think they do a good job with their recordings. It's not the same, but it's still good.
For sure. No, I this is definitely a band I enjoy far more live.
Yes.
Definitely. Because this just isn't my thing. Mm-hmm. It's really, they're really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. Does that make sense?
Yes. But I think
live, that is for me. Like, what?
I just like this part.
Oh.
But so, this live is insane.
Yeah, no, they're, yeah.
You know, like, this is, like, hit you in the chest.
We've
like,
talked about them a couple times, I think.
Yeah.
About how, what a great live show they put on.
But I think that the cool thing about I the Mighty is their live show is freaking incredible. But I also think that their recording is good, but it sounds different. It's like listening to two different
it's
bands.
It's a different band, for sure.
And so, it's kind of fun having the two.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So then I want to go to some Denver bands. And one of them is a good friend of mine. His name's Spencer. And he's in the band The Hollow. And this song is one of my favorites. So it's off of their EP. And it's called Cages. And you can definitely kick this one forward a little bit. And they're a local Denver band. They do a lot of really amazing things. And Spencer's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. All their bandmates are really, really kind. I was lucky enough to talk to him on a conference call once, and it was awesome talking to each and every one of them. Yeah. They're lovely humans.
This is interesting. I'm trying to think what I compare this to.
And something that I really respect about Spencer is that his songs are, like, they're honest songs. So this is talking about, like, being like caged in your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a new release called crap, I can't remember, but they talk about a lot of personal stuff, which I respect too.
It's hard to do, man. It's very
hard.
Very hard to do.
You gotta put yourself out there and you gotta like own it. And they've got, hold on, I'm gonna find it, one moment. No, I didn't, damn it. But anyway, If you haven't checked out The Hollow, they're fabulous. They play a lot of concerts in Denver, and I would highly recommend to go check them out and see them live.
I'm trying to think what I would compare this to. There's something right off the tip of my tongue that I'm trying to, that it reminds me of.
He's got one of those voices that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a great voice. See, that's more my style.
Yeah,
sure.
And when they do a lot of radio, like acoustic stuff in Denver, mm-hmm. and their acoustic's even better. So, I mean, I just look up to people who have such absolutely beautiful voices. Sure. And I'm hoping to snag him to have him on the show.
That would be awesome.
And one of their, a good friend of theirs is a band called My Body Sings Electric. And this is off of the album Part One, The Night Ends. And this is called Ocean Crest.
I've heard of this band.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't know anything about them, but I know I've heard the name.
They're so. Actually, I think I was using them as an example for a podcast because they had a podcast. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it was amazing. The whole band was on.
Really?
And then The Hollow was, I think it was just Spencer was on. And it was like 8 people talking. And it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever heard.
Nice.
Because you think with that many people, it would get really muddled.
Yeah, it's hard. When you get a lot of people on a podcast, it's hard.
And one of the ways that I got more into them is that Spencer actually, their guitarist broke his elbow. And so Spencer had to go in and stand in, and he was posting all these videos of him playing with
them. Oh, that's crazy. That's awesome.
And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So they're really good live, too.
That'd be tricky to do, man.
Mm-hmm. I know. Can you imagine breaking your elbow?
Nah, especially as a musician. That'd be horrible. Horrible. Okay, what's up next?
I think that's everything. Because I played...
Okay.
I interrupted. So I'm
no,
done now.
You're good. Okay, for the last couple minutes,
mm-hmm.
we blasted through that. I'm actually pretty proud. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
it'd be good. It's because you saved us. Because me, like always, I go on and on and on and on, and you're like, here's the song. Here's why I like it. Here's why I've been listening to it. Go listen to it.
Well, can I admit to one thing?
What?
I don't do a ton of research behind a lot of them, and you do, and you're better with your research.
I don't do
than
the research. I just, the shit that I play, I know about. Like, I'm such a dork that I look into bands I like obsessively.
And The Hollow, the song that I was trying to think of is Sleep Talkin', and that's a new release of theirs, and it's talking about good communication. So,
oh, cool.
I really like that song. And they did a really awesome video for it. So anyway, that's my last plug.
Okay. So let's, in the last segment, we'll talk a little bit about the Good Riddance show we went to.
Yes.
And I guess it was a kind of a mini tour. Just the only two dates on this tour were Salt Lake the first night and Denver the second night.
Good Riddance, you just earned so much bonus points with me. So many.
Yeah,
so
don't
many.
You remember when we were talking to Luke, the guitarist, after he was telling, yeah, it's just in Denver, and that's it.
Yeah, he was so nice. We got to talk to him after the show.
We talked to Chuck for a minute too. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Yeah. But it was interesting because I was wondering why the two opening bands were local bands.
And yeah, I
didn't get that at first, but now it makes sense because they're not going to bring out a band for two dates.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because that's a lot of work and not a lot of money.
I'm gonna have to pick some brains on how they pick opening bands and how tours go.
But, it was really cool. The first band that signed on to it was Hi-Fi Murder, which is a local band. I think they're from Ogden.
They were really good.
And they are as DIY as you get. And they were really, really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything on Google Play for them. I happened to find one YouTube video, but it was just a song, and they're really, really good. They're my style of punk rock.
And
they're,
he's currently wearing their hat as we speak. And
yes.
It looks great.
I was very, very, very impressed with them. The singer was even sick, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he
was kind of like, he's kind of like just trudging along the stage. I'm like, does he have an attitude or what? And then they kept saying, oh, dude, this guy's so sick. He's so sick. And
props,
he's still coming out so we can open for Good Riddance.
And I'm sorry, but I wouldn't miss Good Riddance for the world.
Yeah,
if I was the opening band, I'd be like, I don't care if I'm
a singer,
sick.
Man. That's hard because you got to get those pipes going.
Oh, you actually have to sing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can't just play power chords over and over. And they were really, really good.
They were really
good.
And
I guess they were the first band that was booked on this show. And that was Hi-Fi Murder.
Mm-hmm.
And that they actually, it's a band I kind of want to get on the podcast.
Yeah.
I bought a bunch of their merch. And I bought a CD from them, but I can't play the CD because it is so, I think it's just like a CDR. Like, I think you just burned the music onto a random CDR and it won't even play. So that's how bummer. DIY they are. I know, but I'm dying to like listen to the music.
Yeah.
I can't listen to it.
We'll have to reach out to him.
Yeah, for sure. But they were rad.
Yeah, they were really good.
And then the second band, they must have had a campaign going to get all their fans to get them on the show. Because if you went to the event page on Facebook for the Good Riddance show, there's like 10 different comments of people being like, put DTA on this show. Put DTA on the show. They'd be a perfect fit. So they must have had a campaign going to get
them on
the show.
That's awesome.
But they were a hardcore band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really my thing. I mean, they might be good at what they do. I don't know. I'm just not really into that style of hardcore. They remind me a lot of Judge. Do you know Judge?
I don't know Judge.
It's just like really macho hardcore. You know, like it's not like Sick of It All. That's kind of macho hardcore, but it's just really like...
In your face.
Alpha male.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. And maybe they're not like that, but
That's what you were thinking.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to them before the show, I was like, yeah, it's a little too puff up your chest, mm-hmm. King Kong type stuff.
I'm going to sound really terrible, but I think I was on like my second or third glass of wine by then.
This
is great.
Yeah, no, and they certainly were bad. It's just not my thing. It's just not what I'm into. So,
yeah.
And maybe they're not like that, especially if they're opening for Good Riddance. Maybe they're probably not very alpha because Good Riddance is, they're not like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got in super early. I think we were the first people through the door.
On accident.
We accidentally cut in front of these people.
We didn't realize that people were waiting. And right as we walked up, they opened the door.
Yeah,
and
we just walked in.
And we walked in and we're like, oh shit, did we just get in front of you guys?
But
Sorry.
We got to see them finishing up their sound check, which is cool.
It was. Like,
oh. And then you probably didn't notice, but Chuck, the bassist, was walking around the crowd the whole time beforehand. It was pretty cool.
Oh, I love when musicians.
I'm gonna play a Good Riddance song underneath this discussion.
And yes.
This is the song. This is why I love Good Riddance. It's this song. It's called A Credit to His Gender, and it's off A Comprehensive Guide to Modern Rebellion, which is a great record. But they were really, really, really good.
They were really, really,
and
really
I'm
good.
I'm just gonna. There is something about this show that kind of reached me more than other shows that I've been to in a long time. And I don't know what it is. But I walked in there. It wasn't like too big of a crowd. It was actually, I kind of felt bad for them because it was actually a pretty small crowd.
Yeah.
But selfishly, I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
I'm old and everyone else there was really old.
It was kind of awesome. We were amongst our people.
I even went into the pit and I don't go into the pit anymore.
And you were having a blast.
And I was having a blast because it wasn't like a tough kick your ass pit. It was just everyone's having fun and no one was like throwing fists. Or kicking, you know? It was just like... And it wasn't that many people.
Yeah.
But this is like... This is... The feeling I had at that show was the feeling I used to get when I would go to punk shows. And I walk in, I'm like, this is home.
Mm-hmm.
This is home. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had that for a very long time.
Yeah.
But this one totally did it for me.
Oh.
It totally did. And as soon as they came out, I was like, this is... I don't know if it's a band, I don't know if it's the venue, I don't know if it's the crowd, but something about that show really just spoke to me, and it just, that was where I needed to be.
Yeah.
That was home.
Well, see, so Shane and I were talking about, Shane came to the concert with us,
and if you want to hear his episode, it was episode 12.
Yes.
The last episode.
Yeah. And we were talking about it, I think you were going to get whiskey.
Very possible.
Yes.
Very possible.
We were talking about how much we loved the venue, because I'd never been to that venue before, ever.
It's called Metro Music Hall. It's in downtown Salt Lake City.
It's down the street from In the Venue.
And if you're local, you'll probably know where it's at.
Yeah,
it's,
but I'd never been to a show
there.
It's
on the wrong side of the tracks for sure.
Totally. Yeah.
But I've never been there either. I didn't even heard about it until about a month ago.
Yeah. And we walked in and there's like these low-hanging like badass chandeliers.
The bartenders were awesome.
The bartenders were so nice, which you guys, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. If you're a bartender at a venue... I'm like,
right.
Mike Terry? Because isn't he a bartender at a venue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Be nice. You know, people pay to go. Like, there's no reason. And the bartenders were, like, so nice.
The worst are the bartenders in the venue. Oh, my God.
Oh,
God. Horrible.
They're such dicks. They're but anyway, dicks. The bartenders were super nice. It was fun merch. We were amongst people of our age group. And well, it was
you know what I realized at the end walking out of there? I'm sure I've been going to shows with those people for years.
Totally.
For decades now.
Totally. I was half looking around to see if I recognized anyone, but I'm like, I'm sure I have been at venues with these people.
Well, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And they're all old and they're all like, but they were all happy. That was the weird thing. They weren't doing the crusty, angry punk thing. They were all happy and it was. It reminded me of the Flogging Molly show, honestly.
It was really fun. Yeah. It was really fun. And like, so Alan was in the pit and Shane and I both said, we said at the beginning, like, oh, we're not going to go to the front because we don't like on the front. We're too old. But then we ended up in the front. And Shane was so sweet, and he, like, was making sure nobody elbowed me in the back when I wasn't paying attention. And then another fan, I guess, like, got kicked, and she, like, stepped in front. Like, that's nice.
Right,
like,
right.
People were being so nice.
Well, I lost a shoe.
You did?
In the pit, and, of course, just like when I was in high school, I haven't seen this in a long time.
I didn't know you lost your shoe.
No, in the pit, I did. And it was just like in high school. Everyone's like, stop. And they let me get my shoe on, and they're like, all right, let's go.
Oh, I loved those
shoes. And then I lost my hat like 3 times, and it was the same thing. And I haven't seen that in a very fucking long time.
Yeah.
Where everyone is just like, we're going to just be here for everybody.
Yeah. We'll
putting
see.
My arms around strangers and shit.
Oh, like, yeah. It's where you make best friends at concerts. Like, I'm still friends with Haley from the Jimmy Eat World concert who was behind us.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's lovely. And then the chick who was protecting me from getting kicked, she gave me a big hug at the end. And I'm like, see, like...
Yeah.
This is just fun.
Yeah.
And I those are the type of venues I love the most. Like, so it was a really fun show. We got to talk to the bassist.
Yeah, and at the end.
No, the guitarist.
At the end, it was really cool because Russ, the singer, and I think Scott is the name of the drummer, if I'm not mistaken. They left, but the guitarist, Luke, and then Chuck, who's fucking legendary Chuck, the bassist, they stayed and they were talking to fans.
They were just so nice. Like, we went up and said, thank you so much for coming to Salt Lake. We were so happy to see that you were coming here.
Yeah, and he's like, we don't come here very often. So,
and didn't he say we come because we love the fans?
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made me happy. So it was a really fun show.
It was very cool. Really, and they got to meet Chuck, and Chuck is just a legend. If you were anywhere around the 90s punk scene, like, he's just Chuck. Like, he's Chuck, man. He's hilarious. I saw him at the Salt Lake Airport one time with his family.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that.
But I didn't say hi because I didn't want to bother him with his family.
Well, that was nice of you.
It's Chuck.
You're just like, that's Chuck.
So that's a good riddance show. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Is there anything else we were going to talk about that we didn't? Oh, wait. Yeah, there's one thing. Oh, shit. I was going to do this at the top of the episode. Sorry, Shane. On the last episode, we were talking about Tim Barry, and he was in a veil. Mm-hmm. And we had mentioned that we thought he was the drummer.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't. He was a singer.
And guitar
player. So I just wanted to make sure that we got that straight. I think that's going to do it. Go to the website.
Yes.
We're going to have a list of all the bands we played, all the bands we talked about. Go support them, man. Buy their stuff.
Yes, please. And go to the concerts. There's a lot of bands that are out touring. And especially like if they're playing at smaller venues and they were bigger bands back in the day, holy shit, go. This is probably the time that you're going to see them before, who knows if they retire, then unretire, then retire, then unretire.
Well, speaking of that, Good Riddance actually retired. Like, they broke up, I think, in 07, and then they came back, like, 5 years later because they just missed it too much.
Yeah.
But that was a band that used to pack it up, and now they're playing a little tiny club and not a very big crowd. So it happens, man. Now's the time to go out and see these guys and get nostalgic and have fun.
And buy their hoodies.
Buy their hoodies.
Buy their t-shirts.
I'm wearing the Good Riddance hoodie right now.
I know. Represent, man.
That's right, man. And, you know, go buy the Justin Timberlake stuff, even though he's got enough money.
He's
go buy
cool
that
guy.
Record.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
I don't know. Is it a record or is it a single?
I think there's just singles right now. The record hasn't come out yet.
Send him a dance video.
Send him a dance video, you guys.
Maybe,
if you create an awesome dance video.
Maybe he'll see you and fall in love and you'll get married.
He's already married.
He is?
Yeah, to, what the hell's her name?
I don't know.
He's married and has babies. I don't remember the chick's name. Jessica Biel.
He's married to Jessica Biel.
Uh-huh.
She was in the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
They're married and very happy.
That was actually a good remake.
I haven't watched that yet.
That's a discussion for another podcast.
Yes.
For a whole different podcast. All right. TalkMusicToMeSLC.com. That's where you find the list of all the bands. You can find all the ways to get in touch with us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. And I think that's going to do it. We will talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
We go now to tonight's top news story. Aliens have abducted all the world's smart people. Okay, now we move on to tonight's second news story. Ozfest will be going on as planned this weekend. That's right, Ozfest not affected by the abduction of all the world's smart people.
Studio B Productions.